The missionary church, the serving church, the live church, the revived church. Can your church be called any of these things? Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host, and today our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, tells us about a church that has remarkably been called all of these things. So why don't you hop aboard the Bible bus and find your seat and open your Bible to Revelation chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. And while you do, Greg and I want to share something that's very important to the ministry of Through the Bible.
Well, Steve, what we want to focus on today is every single person who is on the Bible bus, because, you know, although we think in terms of broadcasting the whole word to the whole world, we want everybody to know that we care about your life. We care about that single life. In fact, this is, I think, quite providential. I was listening to Dr. McGee on my way up as I drove into the studio, and he was reading one of his favorite letters that he read while he was still with us. And he said, if this was the only impact we ever had, I would be satisfied with Through the Bible. So yeah. I think that really ties in his heart that we want you to know we care about you as an individual, as a single life.
Yeah. And to really drive home the point of every single person who's on the Bible bus has a valuable story. Here's one from Joshua from Indianapolis, Indiana, who writes, I've always wanted to write to Dr. McGee or just Vernon in our household. Hope that's not disrespectful. I hold a special place in my heart for this man. He has instilled a love and desire for the Word of God in me that has revolutionized my life. Just as the story he tells of the country boy, I never knew Jesus could be so wonderful. I've known the Lord since I was 8 years old, but my teens and early 20s were filled with sin and rebellion to God. I told myself, when I'm ready to grow up, I'll follow God then. This line of thinking cost me so much. If God had not intervened, I'm sure I would have wrecked my own life. During this time, I fell in love with a non-Christian woman. After a few months of dating, it dawned on me, oh no, I want to marry her, but I can't. I went home that night and prayed my heart to God, knowing I was ready to grow up and follow Him. I asked Him to use me to lead her to Christ. I didn't know where to start and quickly realized I needed someone to help me understand. I told my mother I wish there was someone who would just teach the Bible from beginning to end. And that's when she told me about Vernon and Through the Bible. I found your website, downloaded the MP3s, and listened while I worked. Greg, why don't you continue on?
Yes, he goes on to say, this all happened in 2010. Today, I can tell you that God moved in miraculous ways to save the woman I loved, and He used me to lead her to Christ. Tears of thankfulness and joy return even as I write you this. We have 3 children, ages 8, 6, and 4. We read our Bibles together every night, and the Lord has radically changed our lives.
Wow.
Man, that is great. He goes on, we've traveled through the whole Bible a couple of times. Recently, the Spirit has been moving strongly in my life, and I feel I'm being called to a new mission. I decided I would hop on the Bible bus again to strengthen my faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus as I prepare for what God has in store. I was so pleasantly surprised when I Googled Through the Bible and your app popped up. It makes listening so much easier and more accessible, and it's all there, the entire 5-year study. Steve, why don't you pick it up from there?
Yeah, it brought me even more joy when I heard you've updated the program and learned Through the Bible isn't hobbling along without Dr. McGee, but is doing well and working for the Lord all over the world. I used to skip the introductions and letters, but now they give me a great boost. Dr. McGee always said, to give where you get your blessing. Well, now that I know the Bible bus is still rolling, I'm sending a monthly contribution to the gas tank, for this ministry has been one of the greatest blessings in my life. When Dr. McGee would read letters, I always wanted to write him. Now, when I listen to Steve read more recent letters, I'm compelled to write to you today. Thank you for keeping the Bible bus rolling. It changed my life.
Well, so much that we could say about this, but I think the one thing I just would love to call out is how often when God touches a life, He doesn't touch a single life, He touches multiple lives.
Yeah, as evidenced with Josh and his wife and now his 3 children. Greg, why don't you pray for us as we begin our study?
Father, thank you for teaching us in your word the preciousness of every life that you have created. And we want to seriously offer your entire word to people so they can have a full relationship with you. Thank you for this amazing, wonderful testimony and the life of this brother and the impact it's had on his family and those around him. We pray that you would continue to do that in order to glorify yourself, not just here in North America, but all around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, I'm rather reluctant to leave the message the Lord Jesus had to the church in Philadelphia, because this church in Philadelphia has been labeled many things. Some have called it the missionary church, and I think that's accurate. Some have called it the serving church, and that is accurate. And some have called it a live church, and that is accurate. I personally like to call it the revived church, or the Bible-believing church. It is the Bible church, and that is the thing that the Lord Jesus emphasizes, and it's this: thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. And so in a day of unbelief and skepticism, the Lord Jesus is commending this church because this church has kept his word. And so this is a church that got out the word of God. And as far as we know, this church lasted longer than any of the other seven churches that are mentioned here. In fact, it lasted until the 13th century. It had a continued existence, and it was destroyed by the Seljuk Turks when they came in and they brutally murdered all of the believers that were left in this church. Now, this church sent out missionaries also, and it's the belief now that the fact that Christianity had penetrated into India so early was because this church had sent out missionaries. Now, the Lord Jesus in verse 10 says this to Philadelphia. He says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. And that, I think, is his word today. I believe God is still patient with a world that has rejected his word. It's not like it was back in the days of Noah. They didn't have the written word of God. Yet God judged them. They did have a man bringing a message to them. But today, we have the Word of God. And there's a Gideon Bible in practically every room and every hotel and motel throughout the world today. I've looked in the motel in different places that I've been in different countries, both Europe and Asia and Africa, and I find that the Word of God has penetrated all of these areas. This is the church that believed in the Word of God. Now he says, because you've kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation or of testing, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now this is definitely the great tribulation period. Because beginning with chapter 4, after the preliminaries are put down in chapters 4 and 5, beginning with 6 through 19, you have the great tribulation period. This period that he says that's coming upon all the world to test those that are up on the earth. Now the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation. Now, not only from that awful Holocaust that's coming on this earth, that period of judgment, but also from that period, from the hour of temptation, so that this is, to my judgment, a complete deliverance. And when he says to keep thee from the hour, I have put in my translation here to keep thee out of the hour that's coming upon the earth, keep you out of the hour of trial that's coming upon the earth, so that by any stretch of the imagination, you couldn't say that this church is going through the great tribulation period. And I believe that the Philadelphia church continues right on through to the rapture of the church. This is the church that will go out at the time of the rapture. Now, the Church of Laodicea, as we're going to see, is an organization that will continue on in the world, although he gives a marvelous invitation to it, and many, even in that Laodicean church, will turn to Christ, and at the time of the rapture, they will be taken out. But there is a church that goes through the Great Tribulation, and that is the apostate church, and that, of course, is the Church of Laodicea. So that what we have here is the coming of Christ to take his own out of the world, and he promises this church that it's not going through that particular period that's coming on the earth. And I'd like to give just here a quotation from Dr. John Walvoord's book on Revelation. He says, if the rapture had occurred in the first century preceding the tribulation, which the book of Revelation describes, they were assured of deliverance. By contrast, those sealed out of the 12 tribes of Israel in chapter 7, verse 4, clearly go through the time of trouble. This implies the rapture of the church before the time of trouble referred to as the Great Tribulation. Such a promise of deliverance to them would seemingly have been impossible if the rapture of the church were delayed until the end of the tribulation, prior to the second coming of Christ and the establishment of the kingdom. He not only says this to the church, but he says, behold, I come quickly. Now, that doesn't mean soon. We've seen that back in the first chapter. It has the idea of suddenness and an air of expectation. That is, he'll come at a time they know not. Therefore, it does not mean he's coming immediately, but his coming will be sudden. And this is the promise that is the hope of the church. Actually, the church is not looking for the great tribulation period. Nowhere are we told to gird up our loins, grit your teeth, and clench your fist. Boy, it's coming, the great tribulation, and you're going to go through it. And believe me, he never says that, but looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the church that is to be raptured, his true church. And I don't think you can put them in any denomination or any local church. I think they're scattered throughout the world today, and you find some of them belonging to some very funny organizations. By the way, and I don't understand it, but that apparently is none of my business. They'll have to straighten it out with the Lord. I'm going to have a whole lot to straighten out myself. And so I personally would pass now from that, and we come to the letter of Christ to the church in Laodicea. Now, this is the last one, and this is the city of compromise, according to Sir William Ramsay. He calls it that. Now, this church was founded by Antiochus II in 261 to 246 B.C. It had a Seleucid foundation. Seleucus was one of the generals of Alexander who took Syria, and Lysimachus took Asia Minor. But Seleucus apparently moved over in his territory and took over some of his ground, and this happened to be one of them that he did. Because actually, this city is very far inland. It is at what is known as the Gates of Phrygia. Out of the east, the Oriental East, the great camel caravans came down through the Gates of Phrygia, and they came by and came through Laodicea. Laodicea was a great city, and this road that came out of the east, and it went to Ephesus and to Miletus, and also up to what we call today Izmir, but Smyrna in that day. It was in a spectacular place, a great valley, and the ruins that are there today are largely covered up. Wild oats is growing over most of Laodicea, but it's on the Lycus River, That river flows into the Meander River. And it was a name that it meant justice of the people. But actually, it was named for the wife of Antiochus, Laodice. And there were several cities that bear this name, by the way, of Laodicea. This one, of course, was the most famous one of all. Now, it was a great place of wealth. It was a great commercial center, as you can well understand. And it was a place of Greek culture. And it was a place of science and of literature. It had an excellent medical school. It was a center of industry with extensive banking operations. Cicero held court here, and it is said that he brought bills here that he cashed in this city. And they worshiped Jupiter or Zeus, and it was finally abandoned because of earthquakes. And the ruins there are very impressive. What you can see, there are actually two Roman theaters. There's a big stadium there. And there are three early Christian churches. The ruins of them are still there. Now, actually, the city itself has not been excavated. In other words, these ruins, they protrude up through all of the debris and all of the growth that is there. As we said, it looks to me like it's wild oats that grow all over the place. And I heard from a man in Istanbul that there was an American foundation that had set aside $2 or $3 million to excavate Laodicea. And if I wasn't so involved, I'd love to go over there and join in that excavation. I think it would be very much worthwhile. Now, this was a city that was a big business place. They made clothing there, and they manufactured an eye salve. You can stand on the ruins of Laodicea and look around at the hills that are not too far away. And from there, you can see where Colossae is located. You can also see back toward Hierapolis, where the springs are. And actually, the greatest ruins are not in Colossae or Laodicea, but really in Hierapolis. But the hills there have a very funny color. And they took that clay and they made it into a salve for eyes and also for ears. And it was shipped all over the Roman Empire. Now today, the chemical analysis reveals that there's nothing healing in that clay at all. But somebody made good money at it in that day, and somebody says, well, today we're civilized. My friends, there's a lot of medicine on the market today, won't do you a bit of good, and we're just buying it just fast as we can. In fact, we're given high-pressure advertising, so we buy it. We better not criticize these people too much. But the Lord Jesus did. He told them they better buy the real eye salve that would open their eyes. But now we're going to see that. I should close the last book with him saying to Philadelphia, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now he has a message that he gives to each one of these churches. It applied to the local church, but it applies to us today also. Now he says this, verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I'll change that now and give you my translation. To the messenger of the church in Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, this is the only place in Scripture where Amen is a proper name, and it's the name of Christ. Over in Isaiah 65:16, it should read, the God of the Amen. And here we have this name that is given, and I'd read 2 Corinthians 1:20. That's what I'm after. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, under the glory of God by us. The Lord Jesus is the Amen. He has the last word. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And so we have here the fact that he is the one that's going to fulfill all the promises of God. And he lets the Laodiceans know that, because this is a church that has rejected the deity of Christ. And that, by the way, the word amen is the only thing he draws out of the vision of himself we had in the first chapter. Now he says he's the faithful and true witness. And this reveals that the Lord Jesus Christ alone is the one who will reveal all and tell all. In this day when it's very difficult to hear the truth, you certainly don't get it through the news media today, and you don't get it from government, and you find that even colleges are great brainwashing institutions. The military does practically the same thing today. Who can you believe? Well, there's one who is the faithful and true witness, even in the days of apostasy, because you can't believe the church in many instances. The liberal church has no message for this hour. And now he's called the beginning of the creation of God. That means he's the creator. In this day, which has accepted the myth of evolution, the evolutionary hypothesis is that which is accepted. And as I said to a college professor, a friend of mine, he and I were in school together, he's accepted the evolutionary hypothesis, and he says, I want facts, I want science. I said, wait just a minute. I said, there are not but two explanations for the origin of this universe you and I live in. One is speculation, because nobody was there to see it. Nobody's able to come up with the answer. The other is revelation. It's what the Word of God says. Now, I said, very frankly, the difference between you and me is you accept speculation, I accept revelation. And as far as I'm concerned, I feel like I'm on more solid ground because I have the testimony of the one who did the creating, and he ought to know something about it, by the way. And he is the beginning of the creation of God. Now he says to this church, verse 15 and 16, I know thy works. Now, always with the other churches, when he said that, he meant good works. He commended them for good works, but he has no word of commendation for this church whatsoever. And he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Now let me say this, because we're coming to the end of this particular period, and I want to talk about that matter of being lukewarm, cold and hot, next time, which is the condition of the church today, and unfortunately it's the condition of a great many so-called fundamental or conservative churches today. Thank God there are many that do not come in under that classification at all. But the thing that is absolutely startling and frightening, and it's fearful, he says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, let's look at that for just this moment. He says, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Does that sound to you like the church he's going to rapture and catch up? He says that where I am, there ye may be also. I don't think so. This is not a church he draws to himself, but here's a church that he just vomits out because it's lukewarm. Lukewarm water makes you sick at your tummy. And I'm of the opinion today that if he spoke to a lot of churches and a lot of us believers, it's rather frightening. I think he'd say, you make me sick at my tummy. Your professed Christianity today. You say you love me. You say these things, but you really don't. May I say to you, this is a heart-searching message for this hour, because we're living in the time of the Laodicean church and the Philadelphian church. Both of them are side by side, and there's a great bifurcation in Christianity, and it's not in denominations. It's actually not Romanism and Protestantism. The great bifurcation are those who believe the Word of God and follow it and love it and obey it, and those who reject it. That is the line of division today. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, it's not always possible to know what a church teaches by the name on the outside of the building. When we go to church on Sunday, let's remember to ask these two questions. Is the Word of God believed, followed, loved, and obeyed, or is it dissected and rejected? If you want to go a little deeper yourself, why don't you check out Dr. McGee's article, What is the Mark of a Good Church? It's available in the online Acts study guide at ttb.org/Acts, or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll direct you to some other resources from Dr. McGee. We've got more in the great book of Revelation tomorrow. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'm grateful for your company on this Bible bus. I've saved your seat.
Jesus made it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole Word to the whole world.